Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We'll be discussing three verses this morning, 2-3, and chanting together text number 4, Canto 10, Chapter 25. Tokena militakshena. Putanaya Mahaujasa. S-A-H. Pitastana saha pranai. Kali neva vayastano. Tokena militakshena. Putanaya Mahaujasa. Pitastana sahakranai. Kali neva vayastano. Tokena militakshena. Putanaya Mahaujasa. Pitastana sahakranai. Kali neva vayastano. Tokena militakshena. Putanaya Mahaujasa. Pitastana sahakranai. Kali neva vayastano. Tokena militakshena. Putanaya Mahaujasaha. Pitastana sahakranai. Kali neva vayastano. Tokena militakshena. Putanaya Mahaujasaha. Pitastana sahakranai. Kali neva vayastano. Tokena. By the young child. Aminita. Almost closed. Akshena. Whose eyes. Putanaya. Of the witch Putana. Mahaujasaha. Whose power was very great. Pitaha. Drunk. Stana. The breast. Saha. Along with. Pranayar. Her life air. Kalina, by the force of time. Eva, as. Vayaha, the life span. Tano, of a material body. So before reading the translation and short purport, We'll go back to text 2 and continue. Translation for text 2. The cowherd men said, since this boy performs such extraordinary activities, how could he warrant a birth among worldly men like us, a birth that for him would seem contemptible? And one sentence purport, an ordinary living being cannot avoid unpleasant circumstances, but the Supreme Controller can always make perfect arrangements for his pleasure. And the commentary. Vishwanath writes, since this boy has performed such astonishing activities, he cannot be an ordinary boy. He must be God. But if that is so, how can he be born in a cowherd family and become the object of criticism? Use of the word asau to denote Krishna indicates that he was not present, but had gone to the forest. The full expression of feelings could take place only in his absence. Quote, even the lesser avatars are not born in such low families as ours. What to speak of the outstanding avatar? Jiva Goswami writes, he is only a boy, but performs these astonishing activities. How could he take birth in a lowly family, which would make him subject to criticism? Again, he says, this word asau indicates that he was not present since he had gone to the forest. His presence, when they spoke, would be contrary to rasa. And then text 3, the translation reads, BBT, how could this 7-year-old boy playfully hold up the great hill Govardhan with one hand, just as a mighty elephant holds up a lotus flower? And BBT has no purport, but here's from Vishwanath. Quote, if this child is not the Lord, how could he perform such astonishing feats? This is the intention of the next 12 verses. Quote, how did he who was only 7 years old remain holding Govardhan in one hand for 7 days, like an elephant holding a lotus? In the following verses, how could he is understood. And Jiva Goswami has really lengthy commentary for text 3. He is only 7 years old. He held up with only one hand, not even changing hands, the heaviest mountains so casually. And he held it up and remained in that position. How could he do this? They express astonishment, since it was impossible. An example is given to show his casually lifting the mountain. It was like an elephant lifting a lotus. This indicates the scene was most beautiful. Therefore, he cannot be a normal child. Then comes some detail. In Vishnu Purana, it is described that he began to herd the cows in his 7th year on coming to Vrindavan in the summer. And it quotes the verse in Sanskrit. The two boys, protectors of the universe, in time becoming 7 years old in Vraja, began herding the cows. Paragraph. Sridhar Swami explains that this means, quote, the herders of calves in time became 7 years old, because before Krishna was herding calves, and then when he became seven, he began herding cows. This is because previously it was said that the two boys were herding the calves, according to Vishnu Purana. In that year, or the next, they played during the monsoon period. Then Krishna subdued Kaliya, then Dainuka, then Pralamba were killed. Then he lifted Govardhan in the autumn, which means he would then be 8 years old. This is contrary to what the Bhagavatam says in this verse. Thus, Vishnu Purana describes the pastime in a different kalpa. This solves the contradiction. According to Bhagavatam, Krishna and Balaram were still in their Pauganda age when Krishna lifted Govardhan. Interesting detail. So now we read the translation. No, we read the purport. Here's the translation, BBT, for text 4, the one that we chanted. It's on the board. As a mere infant who had hardly yet opened his eyes, he drank the breast milk of the powerful demoness Putana and then sucked out her very life air as well, just as the force of time sucks out the youth of one's body. Purport. The word vayaha in this verse, that's at the last line, kale neva vayastato tano. The word vaya in this verse indicates youth, or lifespan in general. With irresistible power, time takes away our life. And that time is actually Lord Krishna himself. Thus, in the case of the powerful witch Putana, Lord Krishna accelerated the time process and within an instant withdrew the duration of her life. Here the cowherd men mean to say, quote, how could a mere infant who could barely open his eyes so easily kill a very powerful demoness? Then two commentaries. Vishwanath. How could he, when he was a baby with half closed eyes, suck out her life air with the milk? Half-closed eyes, milita, indicate that this was done unseen by others, just as unnoticed time sucks out youth from the body. And then we have Jiva Goswami's commentary. Though he performed many acts which were difficult to understand, in which he could cause doubt when he was very young, such as killing Putana, by seeing him directly lift Govardhan at this time, all these became causes of doubt. This is explained in 9 verses. He killed Putana with his eyes completely closed very easily, or being very young. How he drank her life air is difficult to understand. Therefore, an example is given. He drank her life airs just as time drinks the years from the body. This indicates the baby's great power. Katam from the previous verse should be understood for all the verses following by the astonishing activities. Birth in a lowly family could not be suitable. Katam need not be understood in these verses. The verses indicate the previous statement that his activities were astonishing. Jiva Goswami, the narration of Krishna's childhood pastimes appears again in Jiva Goswami's writings. In Gopal Champu, there's a section where he just recites his pastimes, and of course, childhood pastimes. And the reference here says, from seeing him lift Govardhan, they began to recount all the impossible events, starting from the killing of Putana, without omitting any. So that's the commentary on text 4. The primary mood here, not speculation, it's astonishment. I'm not familiar with the secondary rasa terminology, but astonishment is because it's here, but it's that's what's happening. It's the secondary rasas, seven in number, sometimes supersede the primary rasa, and it serves to enhance the primary rasa. Krishna's pastimes are stimulating their love for him differently when they're under the hill and differently after they leave the hill, but it's simply expressions of rasa in varieties of forms. So it's giving rise to their doing what we sometimes like to do, which is just remember Krishna's pastimes and be astonished by Krishna's pastimes. Now, worldly people don't become astonished by Krishna's pastimes. They just call it rubbish or, you know, fairy tales or mythology or children's stories or something that's meant to teach us a lesson, but it's not to be taken literally and so forth. So the contrast is devotees. So there's devotees in our position. How wonderful is my Krishna? And there's just a little distinction. These are pastimes of Krishna. They're not, but they're in this world. And when Krishna displays his pastimes in this world, it's for different purposes. But commonly we hear to attract the hearts and the minds of conditioned souls to him. Now he's doing that too. It's not specifically described in the commentaries, but there's potencies in the narration, and the potencies are for the benefit of conditioned souls by hearing and chanting, remembering, etc. This is our Bhagavad Dharma process, is to cleanse and carry us to Krishna. Awaken our loving attraction, our forgotten relationship with Krishna, and becoming, in addition to cleanse, becoming eager to be with Krishna in a spontaneous stage, to be with Krishna in the manner that one of his Eternal Associates is situated in, become a, you know, go further and further down that path of spontaneous attraction. But the regulative hearing, it's attractive in its own capacity, or our capacity to become attracted is aroused by this regular hearing and cleansing and appreciating how wonderful is Krishna. Go down the scale a bit, and we have what's called Krishna's vibhutis, just like in chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita, the opulences of the Absolute. And the Sanskrit is vibhuti yoga. It's Krishna's manifesting himself within nature in some superlative way, of mountains, I am the Himalaya to Himalayas, and of this, I am that. Those are his vibhutis. Everything is his. The vibhutis are the superlative forms of whatever there is in this material world. And hearing about his vibhutis is provided to Arjuna upon the request to Krishna how to always think of you. So think of him in terms of the best amongst everything. And there's a long list. And concluding, what's the use, Arjuna, of giving the list like this when but a spark of my splendor I maintain and support the entire universe? So the spark of myself, that's his kala expansion, the Vishnu forms. So there's his vibhutis, there's the Vishnu form that pervades and supports everything, and then there's the source of everything that pervades and supports everything, including his vibhutis. And this hearing of and speaking and being immersed in this particular aspect of Krishna's wonderful activities, it has that effect for us, what to speak of for the resident of Vrindavan. They're not like us, or we're not like them. They're in this rasa stage, that they're experiencing one of the seven secondary rasas, just contemplating how wonderful is Krishna. Even with the vibhutis, I remember very clearly, 1970, in a class, somebody asked Prabhupada, is it okay to appreciate something very beautiful in nature, like a sunset, or a beautiful rose? And Prabhupada said, yes. And you should think, how wonderful is my Krishna? That's vibhutis, what to speak of these pastimes. How wonderful is Krishna? So they're wondering about the wonderfulness. And it's just strengthening their love for him. They're not doubting. Some people wonder with a doubting mentality. That's not them. They're wondering with an appreciation mentality, an astonishment mentality. They do want to understand who he is, but of course, we can't understand who he is by that method, by wondering, by pondering, by speculating. They're using their speculative power, but it's not going to give them the understanding of who is Krishna, because they can't reach the understanding. They're ruling some things out. He can't be an ordinary person, because ordinary person can't do what he just did. But then if he's not an extraordinary person, Why does he appear amongst us who are ordinary? In other words, like one of the dimensions of this is avatars commonly will appear in a Brahmana family or a Kshatriya family and not a Vaishya family. But these are Vaishyas pondering, he'll be criticized, ostracized. If he's an avatar, what to speak of the superlative amongst avatars? And so why is he doing this? Who is he? And why is he doing what he's doing? It's not speculation. It's amazement. That's the mood. We know speculation and not amazement so much. And they know amazement very much and not so much speculation. It looks like speculation, but it's admiring their most wonderful Krishna, who is their life and soul. Completely, as mentioned earlier in the previous chapter, they see him as everything. He is their everything. Now, who is he? So that's the mood. Their ecstatic love for him is being stimulated by the pastime and then by speaking about his pastime in this particular way. It's just exciting and stimulating their love for him in some very nice way. And it gets resolved by Nanda Maharaj. And then we heard earlier that curtain that's now rarely opened, it's open, and after they finish, the curtain closes and they stop wondering anymore. It's part of Krishna's infinite potencies. I mean, there's different scenes like this. One that comes to mind is not in Vrindavan, it's Vasudeva and Devaki, after Krishna and Balaram kill Kamsa and his wrestlers, and then they come to set Vasudeva and Devaki free, and Krishna is looking forward to the parental affection of his mother and father. And that's certainly very important to them, parental affection. But they're astonished and they're seeing, different than the Vrijbasis, they're very clearly seeing he's the personality of Godhead, not like wondering. They were unable to respond because they're standing before the personality of Godhead. And that was, so Krishna then covered them with his Yogamaya potency so they would forget his divinity. And then they embraced him and so forth. So that was what he wanted. He wanted their affection in that way. And without the Yogamaya potency covering them. So this happens in Mathura. The opulence of the Supreme Lord is more often and more prominently known. And in Vrindavan, it's rarely even noticed. And those rare moments when it is noticed is for reasons mentioned. It's to stimulate the secondary rasa, and their primary rasa is enhanced. And then the secondary rasa recedes, and it's back to life in Vrindavan without wondering who Krishna is and contemplating his opulences. His Aishwarya becomes eclipsed by his Madhurya. That's the normal situation. Now it's a very special situation. Or numerically or percentage-wise, not what is regularly going on. That's what we're being told. by our acharya. So let's see if there's some discussion. Krishna's wonderful pastimes. That's the title of the chapter, Wonderful Krishna. Same as in Krishna book. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking that I think what changes for a person from seeing Krishna's pastimes as fictitious to being able to see them as it is the mercy of a devotee. And I think it's Srila Prabhupada's mercy that has come into the lives of devotees that they can accept something like this.
Yeah, that's as stated in the purport. Impossible. And not only possible, it happened, and it's wonderful. And how do we get there? I like what you're saying. Yeah. So it's just a reflection. Yeah. Anything further? I'm looking at Kruna Nidhi.
Maharaj, I was I read somewhere Prabhupada mentioned.
You read somewhere. Uh-oh.
In Prabhupada mentioned that this Madhurya rasa is the superset of all others.
Yes.
Rasas.
Yes. So, there's a coating of Madhurya in all of the other residents of Braja.
Yeah.
Not outside of Braja, but within Braja.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was confused that this statement you mentioned from commentaries that how that secondary rasa is enhancing this.
How wish is enhancing? Secondary rasas enhance?
Enhance primary rasa. Please can you explain nicely furthermore?
So I don't understand what you... So you're contrasting two things and I don't see a conflict. The one thing is, in Braja, whatever the rasa is, there is a coating, or there's a important mood of wishing to see the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, because that's the desire of Krishna. So that's the Madhurya feature. Everyone, the peacocks and Jatila and Katila and everybody. Look like different, but it's coated by and strengthening. Then over here is this other explanation that there are secondary rasas, and secondary rasas enrich and enhance the primary rasa. So there's not a contradiction at all. How? Well, that's a mystery, but you know, when there's, let's just, this astonishment. I mean, we heard from the previous chapter about the joy and the bewilderment. There's, you know, the being with Krishna in the way that they were with Krishna particularly, there was a very special joy. And in that joy, their normal configuration of the mind was like not normal anymore. It was, they were a bit bewildered. And now that that phase has passed and they're back in their homes, they're reflecting on what that experience was to be underneath Govardhan Hill with Krishna for 7 days. And the primary rasa hasn't changed, but the primary rasa is enriched or enhanced by a secondary rasa, which is astonishment. Astonishment. How is it possible? So they're using their faculty of reason to try to understand how it's possible. So if he's God, then it's possible. But if he's God, why in this cowherd community and so forth? So it's the reasoning power is being driven by this astonishment. And the astonishment is enhancing, strengthening their primary rasa. It's focusing on Krishna even more than they're normally focused on Krishna in a particular manner. It enriches their primary rasa, which isn't in contradiction to how everybody in Braja feels towards Krishna, their rasa. Okay?
And we also we can illustrate, like, for example, Radharani is getting annoyed with Krishna, or he is getting angry. She's getting angry. So is that we can, you can,
yes,
you can explain?
Like that.
It'll stimulate.
It's enhancing the primary rasa.
Thank
Krishna
you.
Krishna enjoys.
Thank you.
Krishna enjoys more than those that just line up with him. The Chandravali, the, you know, the right-wing gopis. He enjoys the left-wing gopis more. It's enhancing the primary rasa. When she does what she does. And Lalita does what she does and so forth. Okay? You got it. Okay. We're good? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.